Let me bang you,
I do
man.
Let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Kenny, man.
I let you bang.
I let you bang.
Greetings, Marys and Virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with Greg Romero Wilson. What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. How are you? You seem a little run down. Are you a little tired? What's going on with you?
Dude, I couldn't sleep at all last night. Like, I literally got 6 minutes, 5 minutes of sleep.
The worst. Oh, those nights are the worst. And you're just like waiting till the sun comes up. And there's something, I don't know about you, but like once the sun comes up, then all of a sudden magically I can go to sleep again. It's very bizarre for me when that happens. Is it like that for you at all?
It's the worst, man. I used to take Ambien and that helped. But getting off Ambien is the worst.
It's hard. Yeah, it's so addictive, dude. And yeah, it's better to just deal with the.
So I'm trying to get off it, you know. And then it's just, and then the cruises weren't helping because it's like I'm on a bed that's like a little bed, and then it's rocking back and forth, and the shows aren't until midnight sometimes. So I'm like, two, three, and then, but I could sleep till like 10, 11 on a cruise. But here I got to take the kid to school at 7.
Yeah.
You got a new school.
It could be worse. You could be hooked on extends like Brandon Chubb. Hold on 1 second. I got to get some more light in here.
So literally, like, I woke up today 4 minutes of
you
sleep.
You got to know. Can we just talk about the fact that you got to love McCorkle? Some people give a fuck about what their background looks like. He doesn't give a fuck. And he's like, let me turn the light on so you can really see these pillows in my bed, in my room.
It's a disaster.
He's looking skinny, though. McCorkle, you're looking skinny.
It is 98 degrees where I live with 80% humidity and will be for the next 10 days. Like, it is so bad. I have a window air conditioner I put in my dog kennel. Like, that's how bad it is. I took a window.
Yeah, no, I just came from Texas. Exactly. It was 104 degrees with like 98% humidity. And I was dying. I was like, I forgot what it's like to walk in soupy weather.
But it's ungodly. You're like down to like three chins, bro. You look really skinny, like for real.
You really do, though. You look great.
No, I'm losing weight quick, man. It's I would like to say it was steroid fueled, but I even quit taking those for the most part. I just, dude, honestly, the doctor scared me the last couple of times I went. And it's good when a doctor will be honest with you. And he was like, well, I know your back hurts. How are you going to feel about losing a foot? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, your blood sugar is out of control. And you're not like, that's why I'm losing weight on this and that. He said, so they put me on some medicine that works like fabulously.
Dude, you look great, man. Your shirts are like loose on you.
Everything's too big now. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I thought about getting fat again just so stuff would fit, but I'm down a total, man, of about, last time I weighed myself, about 65 pounds probably in 6 months. So
Greg, when he was on when I saw him in Missouri and he was on 10 different steroids. Dude,
probably look gorgeous.
He was wearing an affliction shirt. Shirt, like in like 2014. It wasn't even like
like post affliction era,
dude. And he was, he must have been what, like 6% body fat, and you were like,
dude, that was probably the biggest I ever was muscle wise, like the heaviest I was ever lifting, and like I was taking trimbalone too, which is one I don't mess with, but it'll put like literally 15 pounds a week of muscle on you. Like in 3 weeks, you can gain 40 pounds of muscle. It's ridiculous. But it also,
what's this called and where do you get it?
I can't tell you where I get it, but it's called Trenbolone. Most people call it Tren. But it is a phenomenal steroid, man.
Shit. I got to take a little drive to Mexico. Get me some Trenbolone.
The only one stronger than that I'm aware of is when you shoot insulin directly after working out. That's what Brock Lesnar does. And I heard that's what his actual diverticulitis problem was. It had nothing to do with diverticulitis. I heard he's insulin dependent because he's been loading insulin after he, lift, like, because your body, it's a long story, but you want to eat something to spike your insulin after you work out. That's why they always say eat something with a little bit of sugar in it or something, you know? Well, he just decided to go just mainline insulin himself and shoot it in. And so when you do that, you will gain muscle at an ungodly rate, but your body stops producing it, and then you know, basically, and so it depends the rest of your life. You got to take shots the rest of your life. So,
cheers.
There was nothing. That was,
by the way, they, way to suck the fun right out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never problem. I gotta get me some Tremolo. I was like, sure, yeah, it'll kill you. Go for it. I was just kidding. You know, the stories you guys tell about this, I would, not that I've ever considered doing it or would ever consider doing it, but you guys convinced me it is not worth it pretty much every week.
Dude, when we start the podcast, I'll tell you guys a story about Mitch Rill, and he'll probably get real mad about, like, he'll probably be mad at me about, but I'll clean it up at the end of the day that it wasn't his fault. But I really, like, if you ask me about, like, bring up that I'm losing weight or something like that, and I'll bring up the Mitrione story when he had a fat burner for me. It's the most ridiculous story you've ever heard in your life.
Oh, you told us that. I think you told us the story.
Did I tell you about that? How he gives me a medicine, like, he, and I start running like 103 fever. And I was like, dude, I can't get sick. I got a fat burner. And so I'm like, I'm in bed for a day. I get up, I'm like, man, okay, I don't know what's going on. Take this to go work out. My fever's 102, 103. I'm like, dude, I cannot get sick. I'm 2 weeks out, man. But the third time this happened, I'm like, let me just look and make sure whatever this is I'm taking. I thought it was like from GNC. He said it was a fat burner. I'm thinking it's a fat burner from, because he had a little nutrition company before he started fighting. So I was like, I'm thinking it's from GNC. And I look it up, and the first thing said, like, side effects, he says, if your horse begins to struggle breathing, cut the dose in half. And I was like, you're a horse. And I was like, what the fuck? And so I started looking at other side effects. If your horse begins losing its shoes, you know, or whatever, because of growth, blah, blah, this and that or whatever. If your horse's fever goes over this, that. And I'm like, dude. So I text him. I'm like, motherfucker, did you give me horse asthma medicine and tell me it was a fat burner? And he was like, dude, that's what it's used for. But yeah, he said, you'll lose weight crazy because you'll run a fever 24 hours a day. So you just burn fat off literally all day long. He said, you'll lose like 3 pounds a day. And he said, I wouldn't stay on it real long though. And I was like, dude, like, I had no idea. I was sitting there taking this so-called, it's called, oh my God, what is it? Somebody just asked me to, oh, clenbuterol is what it's called. It's a horse asthma medicine meant for horses. Like, it isn't meant for people at all. Like, at no point was there a human version. Like, it's strictly for horses. But he was like, yeah, I got it from Bill Romanowski's, the one that told me about it. He was on it for like 6 years. It's like, hey, well, no wonder Bill Romanowski acted how he acted, you know? But
it's just unreal. I mean, it's just, these are instructions you could have used when he gave you the shit.
You would,
fucking after 2 days of emergency breathing, Jesus.
That's like when I saw that motherfucker, he did a thing with Eric Hawani. He said, if you get caught testing for positive PEDs, you should be banned for the sport forever. And I texted him right when I heard that. I was like, who the fuck are you trying to kid, dude? Like, did you want to be banned forever? Because, like, we were, you know what I mean? We weren't even hiding. We were both taking tests and stuff like that. But he's like,
you got all self-righteous. Sean, how much, like, when you were on 10 different steroids, you're spending, what, like $500 a week on it?
Oh, God. At that point, man, HGH was the most expensive one. And it was like, I think $1,200 for 6 weeks. So you're about $200 a week just on the HGH. The testosterone's not that bad, probably about 30 or 40 a week. Trenbolone's probably 50, 60 a week. I was also taking something called Nandrolone, which is a real strong one.
Yeah, isn't that the one? That was the one Mark McGuire was taking, was Nandrolone, wasn't it?
I'm sure he got called. Yeah. There's one called Primo that everybody takes now. Like, there's a lot of different stuff that I was taking.
I remember they found it like in his locker. Like, they didn't, he wasn't even hiding it. It was just right there. They're like, yep. Hey, that says Nandrolone on it. Isn't that what?
Yeah. I was taking Anavar, Winstrol, Trenbolone at that time. God, what's the other one? Stanzolol. Well, that's Winstrol. Anyway, and HGH at the time. And I was eating right and lifting weights about 2 hours a day. And dude,
like 6,000 a month. Easy.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, man. It starts adding up. That's what, you know, the Fertitta brothers, Dana White, they go to that. You remember that thing with that old man that was like roided out, the 80-year-old man?
I thought
that was bullshit, but that's really true. That guy really, it does look like that. He runs anti-aging clinics, and that's where the Fertitta brothers and Dana went to get, you know, like, I'm so sure Lorenzo Fertitta swelled up and looked like a bodybuilder at 52 years old. Like, yeah, that happens naturally, you know, or whatever. Like, but, he's preaching against steroids. Meanwhile, he's gained 60 pounds of muscle in the past 8 years. Like, yeah, that's, I'm sure you're just lifting weights.
He's not fighting,
like, that guy. That's like the guy that I guess is like TikTok famous who like eats nothing but raw liver and shit every day. Have you seen that guy? He's completely jacked, like ridiculously jacked. And of course, Joe Rogan was like, yeah, he's got fucking 15 needles in his ass. There's no way that's natural.
Right.
But he insists it's from eating nothing but raw liver and meat all fucking day. So maybe it is. I don't know.
Alistair Overeem was eating horse meat, and that's how he got that big, too. That's what he said or whatever. But the best is when Lorenzo –
the other guy with kangaroo meat, right? Was
it Frank? Yeah, Frank. The best was when Lorenzo Fertitta gets on ESPN is like, so he's like, there are no room for steroids in the UFC at any level. Whatever. Like, really, dude? There's no room for him at all, huh? Not even in management. So full of shit.
It's crazy. Anyway, so Greg, Sean, so I did a cruise last week, and the shows were nuts because all of a sudden all the kids are now on them, right? So I had to do, you know, four different, it was seven shows. I did four different 30-minute dirty shows. You don't have to, but the same crowd keeps coming back. And if you repeat a joke, sometimes they'll like yell out your punchline. And then three different 30-minute PG shows, right? So the first show in, this little girl on the front and her brother are there, front row, little redhead girl. And they're just making mean faces at me. And I'm like, oh, you guys get along? The girl goes, no. I was like, where are your parents? They're like, we're back here, like all the way in the back, right? So right away, the girl just starts like in on me, heckling. I'm like, just would not stop. I thought it was a conversation. So I'm like, dude, I'm going to throw Adderall at you guys. I was like, then finally the girl's like, I'm the devil. La, la, la. I'm like, wasn't there a movie called Problem Child fucking with this kid? Like the one with the girl. Finally, the mom gets up and grabs her. The mom walks off and everyone starts applauding. So that was the first show, right? Second show, there's an adult show. There's a lady with sunglasses on and headphones and a Rubik's Cube. Like going like this, like the whole time.
Naturally.
And she's with her husband. And I was like, miss, do you have a Rubik's Cube? She's like, yeah. She's like, I have autism and I have a twitch, right? And I also have hard of hearing, which is why she had headphones on and she can't see that well, right? So I'm just like, well, it's probably great for you, sir, because you can just get a hand job. You don't have to hear her talk.
Oh, boy.
They start dying. Like they came to every single show, right? They were just going crazy. Then these two Mormons in the front, I could tell, like, you know, people look at you, Greg, you know, they're Mormons.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Just completely shocked. They're the only ones wearing masks, right? In the front. I'm like, oh, you guys married? Like, no, we're brother and sister. And then I asked them, I'm like, are you guys virgins? And then the girl goes, yes. And the guy goes, I'll own it. I'm like, yeah, you'll own it because nobody's buying it.
Yeah, it's different for girls. Girls have to hold on to it. Guys are trying to give it away.
Dude, then we're
trying to find a buyer anywhere we can. Jesus.
Then I get off the cruise after like a week, and I do like the improv that night. And I went on after Jeselnik. It was Jeselnik, some guy that got kicked off SNL, who just did 20 minutes of guitar songs, right? And he did, but like not even any stand-up. And Jeselnik's on top of his game, like he's like legit.
Was it what's his name? Oh geez, I want to say Gil or something. The guy that
Shane
got canceled.
Gillis.
Shane
no,
Gillis.
No, it wasn't Shane. It was just a guy that plays the guitar who is funny. He is funny, but he did like literally no stand up. So I had to go.
Right, he just does songs.
Yeah. So I had to kind of reset the room, you know. So I'm on stage and like it was like Pride Week, so it's all Pride Month. So it's like very very gay and they're having fun, but. This one girl in the crowd, I'm like, oh, are you half Asian? She's like, I'm full. And I did like, I did like the worst dad joke ever. I'm like, you're full. Well, stop eating.
I knew too. The second you said it, I was like, here it comes.
The place went crazy. It was such a, but anyway, but between this, so
you
that
know what, real quick, Adam, you know how you said you can't say when people yell out your punchlines?
Yeah.
I heard that at Brendan Schaub's, special taping, like someone spilled a drink and someone in the crowd yelled out, what the fuck? And he's like, great, you just used all my punchline. if you've not watched any of Schaub's comedy, every punchline is, oh, so my wife's Mexican, what the fuck? Like that's every punchline. Hey. Like,
The dude's in a weird place in comedy because I'd never seen anyone have so much attention on them with so little experience.
None positive. Everybody hates it. The best is, I love how everyone's so afraid of Joe Rogan not putting them on his podcast. They won't say anything about Brendan Schaub. Like, guess what? You weren't getting on his podcast anyway. I can't get on his podcast if I wanted to. So you're not getting on. You know what I mean? But everybody, like, even Joey Diaz is like, oh, you guys giving Schaub a hard time. I mean, hey, he's not Richard Pryor, but he's funny. Like, really, Joe Diaz, you really think if you saw Schaub perform and you didn't know him, you would think that's a funny fucking dude. That's the future of comedy.
Yeah.
But he keeps failing upwards, though, right? I mean, he keeps.
It's like, amazing, dude. He is the most talented person I've ever seen at making the right connection at the right time. Like, dude, you put any one of the three of us on fucking Joe Rogan 186 times or how many times he's been on there. I mean, Lex Friedman, that nerd, that scientist guy, was on there three times and has 600,000 like subscribers on YouTube now for three visits on Joe Rogan's podcast. Like, that's all it. When you're exposed to 20 million people 10 times, you know what I mean? You're going to get an idiot out there that likes you no matter how
but
bad.
But the problem with Shab is, I mean, is that it's hard to like write an hour of comedy and then a new hour in like 2 years. He
really especially when you're not funny.
He probably should get like a writer or two or three.
Dude, if he was smart, I told Mitch on this, tell Shab if he's smart, give me $50,000 and I'll write him 30 minutes that will kill. I said, 50 grand, I'll write him 30 minutes.
It'll all be about how bad he is. Every
totally. You'll be like, dude, have you seen my last special? Fucking the only thing worse is rectal cancer.
Dude, he should lean, he's such an idiot. He should lean into all of it. His whole hour should be about how much he sucks as a comedian. Like, and I would just, if I was him, I would clown myself all the time. Like, there's nothing you can say if you make fun of yourself. You know what I mean?
All I say is, what the fuck? What the fuck? Right.
What kind of comedian's punchline is just, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck, guys?
It should be like, you're right, though. It should be like the Eminem technique of, like, you make fun of yourself. But right. I don't know if he has enough humility.
No, not an ounce. Dude, and that's what I'm about to make us. I'm about to make a reaction video. He's probably going to sue me, like he's suing other YouTubers. Have you guys seen that shit? He's suing YouTubers with like 3,000 followers for making fun of him online. Like literally, serving him.
Is he really suing them, or is he having a friend who's a lawyer write a free letter for them?
Well, he's got a lawsuit pending against one guy because the guy was playing clips of his comedy and making fun of it. And the guy seriously has like 3,000 followers. And the guy's like, dude, you're not going to believe this. I just got paperwork today like that or whatever, like showing that he's getting sued by.
Well, Brandon good. Trump. That should actually get him more followers. He needs to churn that into some publicity. He's been making fun of it.
Like he talks about it every day about Brandon Schaub. I got a court appearance in a month. This is fucking awesome. Like he's like,
dude, that footage of Schaub, if he doesn't show up, Schaub's got to show up now. That's going to be some quality footage for that dude. That's content right there. Of Schaub, he made fun of me, and I'm a comedian. And like this, it's like, oh my god.
Somebody should make like a sued by Brandon Schaub T-shirt.
Yeah, right. I'm actually gonna do a video directed at Brandon Schaub this week. I swear I'm doing it. I'm gonna do a video directed at him and just completely devastate him like no one's ever been devastated before. Because you can put Brandon Schaub as an idiot on a YouTube video and he gets 100,000 views. It's the craziest. Like, look, just type in Brandon Schaub. Stupid Brandon Schaub.
We should make a shirt that says MMA roasted versus Schaub. Than everyone else.
By the way, this is why Shaw is losing weight. By the way, for his
return fucking
part
of it.
I got to look at least as skinny as Shaw to be trashing him online. But
so all right, let's talk about the fights that went on. By the way, oh no, before that, I saw on Facebook you're selling your dogs.
Yes.
For $5,000 for the puppy, right?
At least, yeah, $4,000 to $5,000 is the low price. The high end's $10,000.
These are the puppies. These are the ones that you bred to sell.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll pay 10,000 a piece for their parents. Yeah.
Right. How many puppies did they have?
She had 14 and six died, which if my math is correct, that's tens of thousands of dollars out the window. But that's pretty normal in a litter that much to lose 4 to 5, you know, but we end up losing 6. I've got 8 now. The good news is I haven't even sold one of them. So they're only a week old. You typically don't sell any the first couple of weeks, but if by the time they're 6 weeks old, I haven't sold any puppies, it's going to be a problem. Like it's going to be really.
You're going to have too much inventory.
I swear, I see people all day long selling trash dogs online all day long, $4,000 or $5,000. I've got the best bloodline in the world, and I've had like 10 people contact me and look at it and goes, well, I can't blame you for the prices; they're worth it. The lady that breeds the same line of dogs said, you're selling too cheap. When I said 3,000 to 4,000, she goes, I would go way more than that because she sells them for 10 to 20. And I'm like, okay. So I'm posting everywhere online. Dude, can't get no one to commit like so far, you know, or whatever. Like it's not even.
Well, maybe that's the thing is maybe it feels like it's bullshit because they're not expensive enough.
That's what I thought when I first said 3,000 to 4,000. I told her the lady, the original breeder, I said, I'm thinking about selling 3,000 to 4,000. She said, you're crazy. She said, I got a waiting list. I was like, well, send me your waiting list and I'll kick back 20% to you. So she sent me a couple people, but the problem is both of them, the dogs would be too closely related for them to breed to their male or female they already have. So they're like, oh yeah, the bloodline is too close there. I was like, son of a bitch. Like, cause that was two sales.
It was a job fair and it was like doctor, lawyer, president, shady dog breeder. every single time you would go like,
If I had to choose one, I always have to be in the shadows for some reason. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about the fight.
But now for real, it's like, dude, I don't know. I'll be happy if at the end, if I can get 2,500 a piece, I'll be happy because that's still like, you know, what, 18 grand. So, or no, that'd be 20,000.
You always on your feet, just like Josh Barnett and Mitrione said.
Intentionally brought up on Shot's show just to make him mad.
So the fights, by the way, you won this week, right? You said you were so, you won on like jury?
Yeah, except I didn't bet at the last minute because it turns out my bookie is under investigation and sends me a fucking message. Dude, my bookie sends me a message. Hey, if you get a text, if you get any text from my phone number, don't respond to him.
Don't answer him and don't place any bets.
Yeah, he said my phone might have been seized. And I'm like, well, how are you?
Might have been seized?
This is you?
Yeah.
Yeah, his phone got seized. So, yeah, so he goes, and yeah, they were asking me questions about what you were talking about in there. I'm like, number one, how do you get a burner phone seized? Number two, how are you keeping messages on there from a betting site? Number three, I thought gambling was legal in Indiana. If you type in a sports gambling legal in Indiana, the answer is yes, but apparently not if you're not licensed. I can't do it on DraftKings because I signed up for DraftKings. I said, you're a pro athlete. We won't let pro athletes bet. And I'm like, but not anymore. And they said, they don't care. So I was just like, hit my buddy up. Hey, do you know a site that lets people that are pro athletes bet? He goes, yeah, use this one. Turns out it's his site, you know, or whatever.
And he led me to everybody used Bovada.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, apparently I'm
using
Bovada.
You're the only one left with a bookie in the whole world.
Yeah, you're using Bovada.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, just be real careful if anybody, make sure it's actually me.
Wait, so you wrote that you were so confident, because my dad told me. My dad said, He read your Facebook thing. He goes, McCorkle finally won. My dad told me this. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I'm so confident that Jerry was going to win, which, by the way, we'll talk about the fight for a sec. Number one, Glover looked amazing. I thought Glover was going to get blown out. I was like, dude, this is going to be a one-sided thing. The guy's going to hit him. He's going to look old. Man, was I wrong. Glover, that was one of the best fights I've ever seen, especially
for
205. But a couple things. Don't you think Glover's corner should have told him there's 30 seconds left? Just if you go out, go out, or don't tap, whatever you do. Like, how did the corner?
I think maybe he was just spent, man. When you get tired enough, you don't care if you win or lose anymore. I've been in that position against Struve. I was so tired, I didn't care if I won or lost anymore. I just had to stop punching or getting punched, you know? And I think to do that for five rounds at 42 years old, I don't know how somebody keeps getting better without steroids with age. But he looked better than I've ever seen him look. That dude is a monster. That Jiří Procházka dude is. When I saw him, I watched about eight or nine of his fights. That's why I was so sure. I was like, this dude can wrestle. He can get out of submissions. And his stand-up is ridiculous. Like, absolutely, like, ridiculous, man. Like, the angles he hits from and stuff. But he almost finished Glover, you know, a couple different times in the early rounds, man. Stunned him. Or I thought he almost finished him. But that's how I thought it would go. I was shocked. I didn't even watch the fight because I wasn't paying $75 for one fight. I looked at the rest of the card. I was like, oh, I'll just stream it. Couldn't find a streaming site for shit, dude. Like, I kept trying to go. Everyone would lock up as soon as it would do that. Like, and I said, I watched it later, but I didn't get to watch it live. But, yeah, no, the bookie guy hit me up that day. Hey, don't put any bets on the site, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, cool, because I was about to put $5,000 down on it. So.
But, I mean, the funniest part was the fifth round when Glover had him hurt. And then went for he pulled guard for a guillotine. And then Bisping, like, forgot he was a commentator. And he's like, what are you doing? He didn't even say, like it was so obvious who he was rooting for. He's like, what were you thinking? Like, literally, which was my same thoughts. But I still thought he was going to win. That tap was like, oh, man, I felt for him.
He was probably going to win on the cards if he just survives another 30 seconds. Oh. It was so but he got it in there just right at the very end. And you could tell he couldn't breathe, and he just tapped that. Because they were like, he can't close it from here. I'm like, it's really under his fucking chin there. But you have to admit, first of all, for a grappling fight, I don't like necessarily when they're grappling fights. It's usually boring. These were two of the best grappling fights I've ever seen. And every round was like its own Rocky movie.
Yeah.
He's getting his ass beat, then comes back alive and takes it down and like winning the round. And you're like, oh my God, he fucking
I was laughing. I was laughing halfway through it because I couldn't believe what I was watching.
I was screaming in my kitchen. I'm like, this is unreal. This is the best. I mean, it was an incredible fight.
While driving. I was going down Laurel
Canyon. Of course you were. Of course.
I'm going on Laurel Canyon, which is like the fucking
world. Oh, the best yeah. signal. The best signal through Laurel
trying
Canyon.
To get to
oh,
the yeah. Trying to get to the improv for a set. And it's like one of those, it's like the, that's like the worst thing. It's like we're like James Dean, basically. It's like the curviest thing. And I'm watching it while I'm like, I'm such a fucking idiot, like, for doing this. But at the same time, I couldn't believe it. I was like, yeah. Holy shit. I felt for Glover. Man, I think Jury looked human for the first time I've ever
yeah,
seen
actually totally
look beatable. Because yeah. I was like, this guy could probably beat John Jones at this point. I thought Jury was the guy that could beat John Jones at 205, and I don't think that anymore. I don't think that. I think John Jones would beat Jury based on the fight that I saw.
Yeah,
but the
I
guy, do too. The guy is like a real life Jean-Claude Van Damme villain. Like, he's like one of those guys from Street Fighter or from Bloodsport. You remember yeah. the beginning where they like they found the guy with the monkey guy, and they found this guy, the Thai guy. He's
which
like
was a little racist if we're being honest. Yeah. The monkey guy jumping in around in the jungle.
In retrospect,
little, yeah. maybe not the best choice.
Yeah, that was so. Yeah, I mean, what you couldn't make that today. They'd be like a.
Yeah. They'd be like, that'd be like Joe Rogan saying he was in the Planet of the Apes when he was in a black neighborhood, something like that.
That was yeah, Rogan. That was you know, but hey, look, man, Rogan, I don't. Joe Rogan's not racist. You know, no. I mean, Joe Rogan might laugh at a racist joke. A lot of people laugh at racist jokes.
As you should.
But Joe Rogan's not racist. So, you know, anyway, so here we go. So Glover.
I thought he was going to lose just because he had a goofy hair thing. And usually the goofy hair guy loses.
Yeah. Go. Yeah. Yeah.
I used to bet based on who had the most tattoos. I would bet against who had the most tattoos. Because typically that guy was more insecure, I figured. Right.
Yeah. So or the really person dancing. The whenever someone dances before a fight is trying to act right. like, oh, I'm so cool. They usually lose too. There's certain
like
things.
Guy, I feel like that guy's a weird fucking, like that dude's like was born in the wrong century. Like, I feel like he has no internet. I feel like that guy doesn't have TV. He's like a monk.
He seems like he was homeschooled to me, like, and he's socially retarded and like doesn't really know like what's going on around in the world. Like, he probably doesn't have internet access. Like you said, he's just socially retarded. And then somehow he's like a savant for fighting, though, because he does seem a little slow when he talks. I don't know if it's a language barrier, but.
Dude, one of the funniest things, it reminds me of Norm. Remember when Norm McDonald had to apologize? He goes, yeah. You have to have Down syndrome to know that I wasn't yeah. joking. And then
he did that on purpose. Like, he did that. He could totally like, no. whatever he wanted.
The apology was straight up a backhanded apology for sure.
Yeah. He's like, yeah. I'm not allowed to say retarded, so you'd have to have Down syndrome to not.
Right, exactly. He was like, I'm just going to double down. So
the funniest clip I've ever seen is Norm McDonald on The View. You see him on The View?
Yeah, dude, he's talking about Bill Clinton being a murderer.
Dude, he goes on The View. It's like Joy Behar. It's like the back in the day. And right away, he's like, it was right after the election when Gore and Bush were going to, he goes, man, I voted for Bush because Hillary Clinton's a murderer. Like, he said it like 10 times in a row. And like,
he loved that so much. That was his style. They, was to just needle it right at it. Just
they asked. They asked how he felt about Bill Cosby, and he goes, "Let's just say there's never been any accusation that Bill Cosby was a murderer." Like, he had to keep bringing it back to Bill Clinton being a murderer or whatever. He's going, I think we should get the homicide out of the White House. Time for a fresh start.
Dude, there was a special that Dennis Miller did back in the '90s, and he was like, they had Norm on. Like, for some reason, every 10 minutes he would come on and do like a historical like bit, and every joke had the word crack whore in it. A crack whore, like literally for like no reason. He's probably.
Did you hear his thing where he had a Holocaust denier puppet? He supposedly was like been a ventriloquist for, and he was on the Dennis Miller show. He'd be like, "You don't want to talk to this guy. He's a Holocaust denier." But here he goes, and he act like he was doing a puppet. There was a Holocaust denier. It was the funniest shit ever, man.
Yeah.
You know the thing about him, I got a chance to meet him, and when we had him on Comics Unleashed, and I was, you know, the producer, writer in charge of like prepping them with the questions and to make sure they knew the material to go to and everything. And he was the funniest guy ever to just hang out with, just be around, like so very funny. But it didn't translate the same way on camera. It didn't translate the same way on shows. Like people, some people would really get it, but a lot of people really wouldn't.
Yeah,
but if you were in the same room with him, it was undeniable how hilarious it was, you know?
Dude, that was one thing that stopped me for years from doing a podcast. I used to watch his podcast back with Adam Egan, like in 2014 or 15 when he started it. And it was the funniest thing if you've ever seen the original ones, the Netflix one sucks. The original ones is the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. And it would get like 30,000 views. And I thought, dude, if Norm Macdonald, as funny as he is, and as like, you know, famous as he is, can't get any traction, there's no way I'm going to be able to do anything.
Well, dude, it's one of those things, bro. It's like, even with this podcast, man, it's one of those things where, like, you know, Dane Cook sold out Madison Square Garden, right? And right. everybody jumps on a bandwagon. Not everybody, but a lot of people. Once you become like cool, they all.
Right.
But in a way, those are like the worst kind of fans, because once you're not cool, they just jump off.
like UFC fans. That's exactly how UFC fans are.
They literally.
When I beat Mark Hunt, I was the man. When I lost to Struve, I was a piece of shit. Like,
it was like I'd never seen anything like before. I mean, Dan Cook literally went from like he was just selling out the Laugh Factory to the Garden to like I hate Dan Cook, and it's like. What the fuck? Like, how?
But to be honest, Dane can still sell out big rooms, man. He still sells out big fucking rooms. Like in Canada, he still plays fucking arenas in Canada.
He's still really funny. And the point is that he didn't really change. It's just the crowd, even with these podcasts.
Yeah, he went, like, he sort of arced into being the villain at a certain point.
But like the crowd, sometimes like one person decides, it's like high school where like, oh, that guy's popular. And all of a sudden you're like the, it's like the kid with the new car. Remember the kid who got a driver's license first? Was like the most popular kid in your school because he was driving everyone around. And then once another one got a car, everyone's left him. It's sort of that way with like podcasts.
When are we going to get cars?
I don't know, man.
I was going to say the public school I went to, we had a kid that was 16 in the sixth grade. He was the first one to get his license in sixth grade. So, but he actually punched a teacher, knocked him out and got kicked out of school. And then he got murdered later on in a crack deal. It was sad.
All right, so Santos and
Valentina. Great story.
Santos and Valentina. I thought that was complete bullshit. I thought
bullshit. Santos clearly won three rounds.
Yes, I thought she won 1, 2, and 3. And
yes,
almost won
the fifth
with one eye. I mean, yeah,
basically won the fifth too. I didn't think it was even going to be close, and then I thought somebody's going to make this a split decision. I never thought it was going to flip to fucking Shevchenko.
It was one of those things where I was like, you know what? Valentina Shevchenko is feeling herself a little bit. Like, you could just sort of see her become this like superstar. I'm like, she's
right.
Overlooking this girl. Instagram models. It's
fucking photo shoots and guns. And
I go, you know what? I go, this other girl's hungry, has 13,000 followers, is like 15-1. Like one or last 3-4 fights, like all 30, 27, 30, like she hasn't lost a round in a long time. And I was like, you know, if there's ever a time to pick this girl, I was going to say, this is the girl. I'm happy I didn't make a bet because I'd be furious because she won the fight.
She won that fight fairly definitively. I feel like it's one of those things where the Russian influence may have gotten to the judges in Singapore.
The crazy part is that no one was complaining about it. Like nobody on Twitter. Nobody, because I think she kind of won a boring, like, take her down, hold her, try to choke her out. Grind. It wasn't like she just beat the shit out of her.
But it wasn't boring. When I say this was the other incredibly fun grappling fight to watch, this was because Shevchenko, I will give her this, she would get the points for the takedown, but then she would always get reversed.
I don't know.
Talia could always reverse.
The other girl was stronger. This is. Yeah. I don't know what happened here with, I think Shevchenko, Maybe we're seeing like maybe the hype was too big, but I don't understand why people weren't more furious.
I didn't see it, but I've heard nothing but what you guys are saying. Everybody I talked to or saw were saying that was bullshit. They said it are easily 3-2, if not 4-1. So.
But even like
easily, yeah. Like there was no way where you were like, but she lost. No, she won either 4-1 or 3-2. There was no math where she didn't win. It was so fucking bizarre.
I think because she's hotter and because like she's won so many fights, just murdering people. I think people, it was one of those things where like, maybe you go, you got to beat the champ to beat the champ, but that's not how.
But MMA she works. Did.
I know.
But she did definitively.
I know. You're right, Greg. I don't understand what it was. Maybe
I've always hated that you got to beat the champ shit. It's whoever won the fight, man. Who cares who has the belt? It's whoever won the fight should win the fight. Like I can't.
But I guess, what that saying is that, if it's even,
yeah,
the champ gets to keep it up. That's what they're saying. You didn't go out and beat them. You may have come close. You matched them. Well, champ's still the champ. I think that's what they're saying. When you're basically have an even round, the champ's going to get it.
I'll tell you who looked like a monster was Zhang Weili.
Oh, my God.
This girl, by the way, she went back to her old trainers.
which I never should have left him. She lost one fight. And that, right. And that Rose fight, she kind of got caught, you know, yeah. Like, remember, like it wasn't even like that dominated. Like she got caught.
No, you know? I'm not sure if that didn't happen, that she wouldn't whip Rose's ass too, man. I was watching, I had money on Rose thinking, holy shit, dude. Cause that girl's on something else, man.
And the second fight, I thought she won, but they gave it to Rose. It was close.
Right.
But this girl, I don't know if it's, she was that good. She was that good. Joanna also was a girl that like, she was killing it in Poland. Went to American Top Team, got huge breast implants. Well, not huge, but nice breast implants, or breast implants, whatever.
I was noticing that too. I'm like, well, they look natural. She didn't go crazy. She didn't go porn crazy.
Crazy. But she never kind of looked as dominant. I don't know if the other girls caught up or she wasn't as hungry because she was a huge kickboxer beforehand. She was, you know, she had it. It wasn't like she just started MMA. She had a big record beforehand, but. She now retired.
I heard that now she got implants, it's even harder for Tony Hinchcliffe to act like he has a crush on her.
Maybe.
Can I tell you, I swear, I think she changed her style and she's never gone back to her previous style, which was, again, I would call her the Tiny Fists of Fury because remember, she would unload like 7, 8, 9, 10 all in a row. Yeah. And that it was an overwhelming style and she stopped doing that. And by the same time, I think the Zhang has her number the same way like Usman has Colby's number. Like I think Zhang just, and you could see she broke Joanna in round one.
Yeah.
The look on Joanna's face when she got up, went to the corner, I was like, this fight's already over.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
girl
yeah.
owns her and she's admitting it in her mind right now. Like I can't beat her. Also, did you note three mid-fight finger bangs? There were so many fingers. Oh yeah, I'm like digging it. So
and, I was gonna say,
like, Joanna did it.
I was gonna say what she fell is good. She had implants because she actually fell had the cushion.
Did Joanna retire after, or did I hear that wrong?
She retired afterwards.
She did retire. Is that was true?
Which, by the way, if you retire after you lose, she retired before. I mean, you could tell like her head wasn't in it at a certain point.
She retired after the first round.
And she had enough wars in her.
She did. You could see it in her face. Like, I can't win. I can't win. I'm done fighting.
Wars in her where you could be like, dude, she's a Hall of Famer. She's a great fighter and nothing left to prove. But something wasn't.
And I bet on Joanna.
I'm telling you, there was a kid that from Chechnya that I used to coach wrestling. When he came over here, he was a monster. He came right from Chechnya. All he wanted to do was wrestle. And then he started getting on Instagram and he started getting friends and girls. And he was like, man, this is, I think maybe it's the same thing where like America spoils some people. But like, when I mean, not that Poland.
Well, when you're not hungry.
Yeah.
You're not hungry.
Yeah.
You come from Chechnya, buddy. I'll tell you what, you'll do anything to not go back, I think. But people do get spoiled here. Like Connor will never be the same. I don't care what anybody says or whatever. Connor knows he's set for life. It's so much easier to train when you don't know where your next meal is coming from, as opposed to, well, even if I lose, I'm going on vacation for 6 weeks after.
Right. And you have no options. You have nowhere to go. You have nothing else to do but focus, plan, and work.
But also,
and then once all of a sudden you could be like, well, but there's a dinner here. Oh, and there's a dinner there. And I'm going to hang out with these people now and everything. And just that's it. The distractions become part of your life. And you're no longer that person that had one thing and one thing only to do, which was fight.
But also, yeah, that's like what Sinbad said. He's like, you're funniest when you're riding the bus. But don't you think also Connor
makes... Which is why Brendan Schaub has never been on a bus in his life.
The thing about it is people have begun to think that this, like our whole podcast is anti-Schaub.
Nobody thinks.
And I think it's important for them to know it's just you.
I was going to say, it's at least my portion is.
100%. Yeah. I mean, listen, we don't stop you. We're not, you're an adult. Say whatever the fuck you want. But I think people get the impression like we really, you know, somehow we care about this too.
But don't you think Connor also, Sean, like brings his camp around him, like brings in Dylan Danis, brings in his own training partners. So like, he's not like, you only think if he went to like a American Top Team or an AKA where he wasn't, and he had guys that are hungry, like a Black Zillion, and he had guys like Chandler, like pushing him, he'd be better. It seems like,
you know, that old saying, man, they said like anybody that represents himself in court has a fool for a client, you know, or whatever. Like that's, if you're running, I know dudes, I don't want to mention any names, but I know dudes who ran their own training camps. And dude, that was the beginning of the end for them every time. Like you need someone who's going to make you do things you don't want to do. You know, like you're going to, it's too easy when you're like, oh, my grappling looked good today. I can take a couple of days off. Or, you know what I mean? Or you bring in, you don't want to spar one day, so you bring in people. Guys love to bring in guys they know they can beat up standing up. You're not going to get any better if you can beat everybody up that you're training with. You know what I mean? That doesn't there's a couple of guys I know really well who did that. They ran their own training camps, and they went straight to hell, like, as a fighter. You know, you got to go. It's a nasty game, a violent game, man, and you got to get in there with guys that whip your ass every day. You got to wrestle with better wrestlers, grapple with better grapplers, and box with better boxers. You know, that's what you have to do.
I mean, on like a comedy note, I mean, Greg and I, we both know guys that only do shows where they headline, you know, right. Like they only have their shows.
Where their crowd is going
to
be.
Yeah, where their crowd is. And then they go to a show where like, it's like seven, like, you know, or six guys that are fucking solid and they get murdered. They get buried. I mean, they go up there and they're like, oh shit, why is no one laughing? Well, because no one came there to see them. You know, versus like they have an hour or 45 minutes and it's just their people who listen to their podcast and know what they're talking about, you know?
Did you say Anthony Jeselnik was headlining your tour, your boat, your cruise?
No. I did the improv Saturday night.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying Jeselnik was on your cruise. I'm like,
what cruise is this? No, a Hollywood improv.
Okay.
It was like,
that makes a lot more sense.
He went on, then the guitar guy who went on, who got kicked off SNL, and then me. And I just thought, I haven't seen Jeselnik in a while. And there was a lot of like pedophilia jokes, but it was like legit. Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, I watch him. I'm like, you know, normally you could kind of guess where the punchline's going, or you know where it's going, or you could see.
Yeah.
Dude has a lot of misdirections, like really good misdirections.
Well, that's his whole technique. I mean, he has one style. I mean,
yeah.
But he had to get better.
He tells the meanest jokes I've ever heard anybody tell, man.
Here's the thing, though. Like you said, trying to figure out his jokes, because he has one style, one formula that he does over and over again, about 10 minutes into the set, you can't help trying to solve the joke every time. Because you know that he's leading you this way to go over here, and all you're thinking is, where is he? And you spend, I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of the time trying to solve the joke riddle before he gets there.
I do. I go, what clue did he leave in the setup?
Totally. I'm totally just watching it. And by the end, I mean, I usually have a pretty good idea of what he's going to try and get to.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear his joke about his mom being a Holocaust denier? Did you ever hear that joke?
Uh-uh.
God, dude, it is amazing. He's like, he says they brought in a rabbi to try to, you know, like to get her out of it because it was just embarrassing to have a mom who's a Holocaust denier. And he said, like, that means, he goes, if you don't know what that is, that means she couldn't believe the Holocaust happened. He said, so we brought a rabbi, explained the whole history of the Jewish people, the suffering, the thousands of years of slavery. He said, now she can't believe it only happened once.
Right. There you go.
Which is a great
joke. When it comes to joke writing, Adam, you and he are the two purest joke writers in the game. Thanks. You really are.
He had a good joke. He goes, this girl I know asked her to be a sperm donor for her kid. And I was like, well, how old's your kid?
Oh, shit. Oh,
God. Listen, like I said, you guys, and don't get me wrong, I love it. I love watching it. I love it. But it does become a bit of a game watching a set because it is one dynamic. But, man, he is a master of it. He's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to. Yeah, there's a lot of them. I was like quoting them. I came back to my wife. I was like, dude, I was like, she was like, I've never seen you actually like. Normally, you come back telling, thinking everyone's like, how the fuck is this person on the show? Or like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, so many times I watch comedy and I'm just like almost annoyed that the crowd's laughing sometimes. Not to be a hater, but you're just like, really, you know? Because
yeah,
personally,
a little bit of a hater.
Well, a lot of times in LA, you get people that just talk about their auditions or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a lot of workout on legit shows, you know. So, and you're like, I wish I could not give a shit about doing well tonight.
Or like a joke is like a minute and a half long, and it's like, yeah, so I was on the set of this, and or they're just name dropping their credits, you know, like they're like, oh, when I was on the cast of this, and I'm like, really, like. What is this, IMDb?
Says the guy who used to open for Piven. Okay.
But I don't go up there. I don't go up there and say, hey, I opened for Jeremy Piven and this is what happened. You know, like.
No, but Piven, I mean, come on. He's writing one thing and one thing only. And it ain't his comedy career, so.
How does this become about Jeremy Piven? I'm talking about random people. Anyway, so All right.
You know, Big Jeremy Piven is oddly very good friends with Matt Mitrione. That's an odd fact for you.
Oh, really?
Like, I hit Matt up. I used to text celebrities and I would get their numbers from other people. Like, so I knew like a bunch of rap video music girls. So I'd get like 2 Chainz number, R. Kelly, and I would like prank text them. It's the funniest shit ever. So, and give out their number to people. And I asked Mitrione when I said, who's the most famous person's phone number you have in your phone? He said, probably Jeremy Piven. And I was like, how do you have Jeremy Piven's number? We've been friends for years. I was like, what the? You and Jeremy Piven, of all people, like it seemed odd that they would be friends. And then he wouldn't give it to me. So. Nah, well, but he would give me clenbuterol.
Oh, there you go.
life's full of little trade-offs.
So Jake Matthews, who beat Fialho, also on the card. Matthews was a kid that like came to the UFC at like 19 years old and was in college while in the UFC. And it was just sort of a thing where you knew he was going to be good, but he kept losing some close ones or blah, blah, blah. Dude, he looked amazing. He looked like the kid. The other guy was mean, talking shit, refused to shake his hand, and Jake put a hurting on him. But the other guy had a chin. I was like, man, that guy's chin's made of Viagra because it fucking was hard as fuck. Like he just took a lot of took a lot of shots. So that was cool.
Probably because of the Viagra.
Yeah. did you watch the undercard, by the way, or no?
Right. I didn't watch any of it, man. No, I was so mad when I looked at the card, I was getting ready to order it. And I was like, wait, everything but the main event should be on UFC Fight Pass. Like, what is this shit, man? You know, or whatever. I mean, maybe not the girls' championship.
The top fight, three matches were fantastic.
Yeah, those were good. But the other two, I had never even heard of anybody the other four guys had fought, let alone them. And I was just like, dude. And I guess it's because they had, what, 2 fights get canceled, right? Robert Whittaker and somebody else got pulled out or something. So it may have been worth it otherwise than that. But I don't know, man. I don't care how much money I have. I really, really begrudge paying $75 for some when they're just trying to top load a card with, you know, like 1 or 2 fights. Like, I can't stand that, man. So
I have to agree with you. This is one of those cards that I was like, I'm not going to pay for it. It's not, this isn't a pay-per-view. This is a really good, like, decent card, but it's not worth $75.
Yeah, or maybe
especially
like
when it's just streaming. It's not even like, come on. The prices are a little outrageous for some. Some of them, yes. Some of them, this one. But then those top three matches were so good. I was like, I would have paid for this.
So in other MMA news or sports, Alan Belcher, by the way. Remember Alan Belcher? He's the guy with a terrible Johnny Cash tattoo. It looked like Chaz Bono or Rosie O'Donnell or whatever. So he... He had like an eye.
I think it looks exactly like Johnny Cash. What are you talking about?
It looks
nothing. Only because I know Alan Belcher, but go ahead.
So Alan Belcher went into bare knuckle boxing and is beyond like, dude, like, I don't know what he's on or if it's natural, but holy shit. And is just murdering people.
He can fight. He's also a avid friend of Tai Lopez, which made it hard for me to even speak to him anymore when I found that out.
Dude, so this is Alan Belcher now, by the way.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. That guy, wow. Jeez Louise.
In the UFC, he didn't look like
almost
that.
Like he's out of the USADA pool. It's almost like he's not in the intestine.
And he fought
it
a guy
feels
named,
that way, doesn't it?
And he fought a guy
it
named,
that way.
He fought a guy named Frank Tate, by the way, who was like number one in bare knuckle boxing, this huge black dude. And look at what happened in the first round of the fight. So,
boom.
Yeah. So Alan Belcher.
Did the UFC cut Alan Belcher or did he leave? Because it seemed like he was really good and all of a sudden he just wasn't in the UFC anymore. Like, I don't.
He had like an eye problem where he almost like went blind or something. He had some kind of injury. And I think
he's always been tree, really big nice tree fall like hard. That's what that looks like.
Yeah. So that was Alan Belcher, man. I mean, look, the dude is a monster and he's fighting the guy that I think he's going to fight the guy that beat Hector Lombard, the guy who's like Debo. This guy walks, this huge black guy walks around with his strippers come out. They're all throwing money. And then he just like beats everybody up. I mean, kicks their ass. And then he's like, get out of, this is my belt. And now you can have he's basically the Debo of bare knuckle boxing. This guy, Lorenzo Hunt. He's a monster. So it's going to be him versus Belcher.
I had an agent contact me about bare knuckle boxing, said they were paying crazy money. He said, you cannot believe money. I said, dude, how much are we talking? Because a couple hundred grand, I'm in. I'll fight anybody. A couple hundred grand. He was like, I'm not talking 10, 12 grand first fight. I was like, get the hell out of here, dude. $10,000 to bare knuckle.
Like, that's unbelievable money.
I was like, you are. I don't believe that that's actually what they're paying those guys. Like, you want me to be the main event on your show for $10,000? Like, no thanks.
So Black China fought over the weekend. They called it a draw. Here's some highlights of it. So that was
okay. That looked like marshmallows hitting other marshmallows.
For those of us that don't follow pop culture, is Black China either black or Chinese, or is that just his?
She's the one. She got famous by, I think she was banging Kanye, and then she ended up marrying Rob Kardashian, and then they had a baby, and now Rob has like full custody. Or mostly custody. And
well, that's good because she clearly asked to train
the last time I saw him.
And then she sued the Kardashians for like $100 million for sabotaging their reality show, I guess. And then she lost. And then now she's here doing bare knuckle. I mean,
did she take him to international court? Maybe that's how she got the name Black China. I don't know.
So yeah, Black China. And then Benzino. Remember Benzino? We talked about him.
Sure, yeah.
He also did some celebrity boxing. This has got to be fake. I think he paid this guy to go down.
You're not going to convince Greg that any celebrity boxing is fake.
So that's Benzino.
Yeah, this is... Well, he tackled him and then the guy laid down.
And now he's convulsing.
And now he's fake kicking. He's knocked out like a fucking, like in the Three Stooges with his leg. Like, yeah, I can't. Oh my God, I'm out.
I'm guessing the guy that knocked out is not famous for being an actor, because that was the worst acting of a guy knocked out I've ever seen. Like, he must be something other than an actor. That was horrible.
Dude, the look on Sean's face sometimes is the funniest. All right. So this week, Jeremy Stephens is fighting in the PFL. He should win this fight. I feel like they're trying to get him into like the playoffs, because they gave him a guy who's Miles Price, who's 10-8. Jeremy, who's just coming off a loss to Anthony Pettis, obviously. But he's a guy from Ireland. And he beat Peter Queeley. He lost to Sean Carter. Jeremy Stephens is 28-20 now. That's his record.
Dude, you know what sucks is sometimes that blows up right in their face when they try to get a guy into the playoffs or doing something like that. They kind of try to give him an easy win. The other guys come out swinging haymakers and knocking him out and ruin the whole plan, man. It's a bitch when that happens. I like it, man. A lot of people disagree with me, but I like the pride model where – you would have Fedor beat three random Asian guys, mostly just because they were Asian. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I like where Fedor beat three guys that weren't that good and then fights Krokop. And Krokop had fought three guys that weren't that great. Like, UFC has to always be 1 versus 2, 3 versus 4, right? And 5 versus 6. Like, why don't you let a guy like Tony Ferguson, give him someone he could beat, give him a couple people he can beat, and then let him build himself back up, man. But this stuff of, oh, you just lost to this guy, let's give you number 5. You lost 5, let's give you number 3. You know, it's just ridiculous.
How is Bubba still in it? Is he still fighting?
Yeah. Bubba won his first fight. By the way,
I saw him win the first fight. I thought that was great.
By the way, someone put a fake quote that Dana White wrote. And
I pay my fighters well.
And then Tony Ferguson got mad about it and then posted about it. And it was like something like, Tony Ferguson's done. Nobody should have, like, he can't fight anymore. And he's like, fuck you, Dana. And like all this, whatever. Or it said,
that's awesome. He trusts the internet. He had no suspicions at all about the internet. Like, there might be a troll job. Just like, that's like these idiots that post LeBron James. LeBron James said Golden State would be a perfect fit for him next year. And everybody's like, what a piece of shit. Like, no, he didn't. He wouldn't say that. He knows everybody would hate him, but they buy it. They believe it.
Yeah. So somebody goes, Khabib ducked prime Tony for years, but Tony's kind of washed now. So there's a good chance Khabib will fight him now. That Dana White would really say that. Right. And then he goes, yeah, washed up, Dana White. I'll give you washed up. Wash these nuts. Now I'm pissed.
I got it, dude. Off topic, I got to tell you guys something awesome real quick. I just thought of this. You know that new Adam Sandler horrible basketball movie that everybody thinks is great? Have you seen it? That new,
the new one where it's like all dramatic or whatever?
Yeah, it's, dude, if you know, I played college basketball really high level and almost played professionally over in Europe. I was that good. It is so ridiculous. The basketball scenes, everything about it is so stupid. So I'm sitting there watching with my girlfriend. We're suffering through it. And I was like, and they're like, you have to build your brand, this and that. And I was like, do you know how dumb you'd have to believe a pro sports franchise or pro sport would care about your online image, your online thing, as far as bringing you into their league? It's about, are you good enough?
Yeah.
Can you compete? I said, that is the dumbest shit ever. She goes like, yeah, like you with the UFC.
Oh, fuck.
Like she said it to me. And dude, I laughed for like an hour. Cause I really realized like I did get in the UFC.
No, but you also beat 12, 15, you were 15 and 0 or something though.
Or 12 and 0. Yeah. But she, but I said like, they care about your following and this and that or whatever. She goes, yeah. Like how the UFC didn't care about yours. And then it took me like 3 seconds and then I loved it.
There hasn't been a good basketball movie since like Hoosiers. I mean, they're all like, one of them was like Air Bud. Remember the dog that could dunk?
Yeah.
Like, so how did that get past?
Wait, you know a dog that can dunk? I'll pay $10,000 for it.
Like, how did Air Bud get out of the writer's room? We're gonna have.
Well, but you know what? That movie about the Showtime, that show about the Showtime Lakers that's on HBO.
Yeah.
Winning Time. Woo! That's a great basketball show right there.
Here, that's great. But like a movie, there hasn't been a good movie though.
Yeah, like, I can't think of one. I mean,
who
there was? He Got Game. There was.
Oh, the one was pretty good though. The one with actually, I was watching a documentary on
White Men Can't Jump. Obviously, the classic.
Yeah. The one with Nick Nolte wasn't bad. Blue Chips.
Blue Chips wasn't bad. No, that wasn't. But these are all old. These are all very old movies.
Which, the thing I liked about Blue Chips was it was realistic because they had to fake Shaquille's test scores to get him into college, and I was like, that seems pretty realistic because. You know what I love about Shaquille O'Neal, man, is that dude gives away probably $1 million of his $700 million a year, and somehow there's always a camera there when he's doing anything. Like, if he's giving somebody – he gives a homeless guy a quarter. He's like, I just like to give back, you know? Like, he's got a camera that follows and films his good deeds. He goes in Walmart, hey, kid, you want a bike? And picks out, like, a $75 bike for the kid. Like, God, you are such a great person. Get the fuck out of here, man. Yeah, like, I swear.
Everybody's that way. It's like the old Seinfeld where you don't want to tip unless the bartender's looking.
Yeah.
Because then he doesn't know you put money in the jar. It's like you want the goodwill for the goodwill, you know?
Do you remember when him and Kobe, rest in peace, Kobe, remember they were fighting and he was at a club, Shaquille, and he was like rapping for some reason?
Yeah, you couldn't win without me. Tell me how my ass tastes.
He goes, Kobe, how's my ass taste? And he had everybody in the club yelling, Kobe, how's my ass taste? Like, what?
Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. You couldn't win a title without me. Tell me how my ass tastes. I thought that shit was hilarious.
You're going to have to, I'm either going to have to watch it back, you're going to have to tell me because I lost you guys for 15 seconds. Right, so I have no idea.
Shaq was at a club one time rapping, like, and
he
started rapping. Him and Kobe were in a fight, and he started rapping about, hey, Kobe, how's my ass taste? And he had the whole club yelling, Kobe, how's my ass taste? Like, they were all, which, by the way, his ass is so fucking big. I mean,
That probably made Kobe so mad he went to Colorado and raped a 19-year-old to get back at him.
Oh boy! All right, buddy.
Although I think he's innocent because I know normally when guys rape women, they give them $10 million to not cooperate with the police and then apologize to them on national TV. I know that's what I would do if I was falsely accused. Right. So I would give her $10 million.
Where are we
now?
At 56. Maybe at 56. All right.
56. Okay,
we got a way to go, McCorkle.
That's gonna, I don't know.
You finally crossed so hard the for line. Me to not you talk finally went far enough that we have to mark it and clip it.
No, I have to download it, put it in my iMovie, I fucking edit it, a whole thing.
And then,
So Ronda Rousey said she would return to fight Gina Carano.
I bet she would. Gina Carano hasn't fought in 20 years. I'll tell you what, right now, dude, you give me Don Fry right now, I'll return to fight Don Fry as long as he's just out of the hospital. Like, or whatever, you know what I mean?
I don't know, man. Don Fry still has a quick.
Yeah, no, actually, no, I wouldn't fight Don Fry. He'd probably whip my ass. Like, maybe Dan Severn. Give me Dan Severn at this point.
But I mean, I don't know why Ronda would say Carano. She goes, I'll fight her in my backyard like it was in Rocky. Remember the Rocky II at the end when they fought Apollo? But you don't know who won.
In their backyard? No, they didn't.
No, they fought in the basement.
You know what was awesome? You guys remember how at his funeral. I put this on Facebook the other day. At Apollo's funeral, Rocky's like, you know, he always did things the way you wanted. That's what I love most about him. And I was like, yeah, like how he wanted to completely train you opposite of what you were used to, or how you told him not to take the fight with Drago, and he did it anyway. And then before the fight, you try to postpone, he refused. And how no matter what you said, he disagreed with and argued and told you weren't going to do it. He always did stuff the way you wanted, you know?
Everything.
That's, you know, training.
Didn't Paulie try to fuck the robot in Rocky IV? Like, why?
Dude, yeah. They never brought
No, yeah. He was in love with the fucking robot. I was like, she gets me. She fucking gets. And you knew he was training it to go like this. You knew he was fucking that fucking robot. It was gross.
Why did they have a robot?
Because Rocky bought him the robot so he wouldn't be lonely. No, wait a minute. Didn't they get Rocky the robot, and then Rocky wasn't using the robots, and then Paulie took over the robot?
I like how in Rocky V, he gave Paulie all his money to invest. Like,
right. Well, who else would you trust with your finances besides an alcoholic brother-in-law? Like, that's who he's like, hey, I signed all the money over. Like, he just lost everything.
An alcoholic, loser, abusive brother-in-law, you're going to give him all your money and be like, invest it for me, would you? You know what you're doing.
Well, didn't Dane Cook do the same thing? So maybe.
Yeah,
no, but he didn't lose everything. And his brother, I think, was a financial advisor at the time. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but who would give Paulie?
He gave himself some good advice.
Well, that was the other thing. He was supposed to be, like, investing it in retirement funds and shit like that. Instead, he just fucking put it in his own pocket. So
I'll never forget when I
his brother's in jail now, right? Is he in jail?
I think so. Well, maybe not anymore. I think he only went for like 3-4 years, but I think he did go to jail.
Oh, well, you were talking about Paulie at first. I was like, wait, Burt Young is in jail? I thought he died the other day.
No.
Well, I know,
like how they lie and say that Paulie, the Burt Young, was a professional boxer with a 28-0 record or some shit online, but you can't find any proof anywhere. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Like, there's like, oh, do you know he was a 28-0 boxer?
I think he was like a mobster, though. First of all, I met him one time when I was at the comic strip. I was a month into comedy, and you had to sell tickets to get people to come. You couldn't go out and sold 10 tickets or something. And I was I went outside trying to sell tickets, and Burt Young walks by, and he almost bought one. He's like, man, I got to go to dinner. Otherwise, I totally would buy one. It was like,
that shows you just how reckless he was with Rocky's money. He almost it's like, give me 10.
Here you go, kid. I'll take all the tickets. We're not coming, but I bought your tickets.
Then he was like at all of Gotti's trials, John Gotti. Like, he went to every one of the court cases, which, by the way, which is ridiculous. And also, remember when War Machine was like going to jail, it was in jail now still. He got married in jail, by the way. Just
did he?
Yeah.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
The girl's like not bad looking either, which is even like, but
I bet their honeymoon night was amazing.
So War Machine had nobody like on his side, obviously, for like almost killing Christy Mack, except Phil Baroni was there every day in the courtroom. Right. Like, you see, it's an empty courtroom except for Phil Baroni. Like,
well, if you gotta have
Phil Baroni's what got him convicted. He was part of the final prosecution's final statement was like, just look at who comes to support it,
dude. Baroni one time posted his dick pic online on I must have been drunk or something, like on Twitter, and then he writes OnlyFans, and they're like, no, you're supposed to get people to subscribe first and then you show them your dick. Like, he puts his dick up and then writes OnlyFans.
He completely missed.
Dude, you got to give that guy credit, man. Phil Baroni is a character. Remember when we interviewed him and there was some girl there and he was just like, yeah, she doesn't even know I got herpes yet. And then she's like, what? You have fucking head? Like, storms out and goes, another one out the door. Like she broke up with him during the interview. It was crazy. It was a wild interview. Listen, that guy, he's one of a kind. You got to give him points for that.
Dude, he was in Mexico recently. I saw him training people like in like a parking lot, like straight up like Mexico. Like, they were wearing, he was training them boxing. Then he had a fight against a guy who came into the fight wearing cut off jean shorts. Like,
yeah, in the same parking lot. It was sanctioned.
It was probably on the undercard of the Rousey Gina Carano fights taking place in a backyard.
It was sanctioned by Fiesta.
like someone's like, and I go, Phil, congrats on the win. He's like, yeah, that guy was a tomato can or something. He wasn't even happy about beating that guy, but like he still won. He still beat the guy. And then like, remember he went to Thailand and he fought like some Thai guy. He lost and he thought he got like $8 million. It was all Thai money. So it was like $6.
Yeah. Right. He's like, $8 million, I'll be there. Fuck yeah. It's $8 million, not $8 million.
Then he got kicked off the airplane coming home. He was too drunk. And then he did a professional wrestling thing. He thought it was going to be fake wrestling. They were really wrestling him. And his tag team partner wouldn't tag in. It was the guy that Bonner, the guy that Bonner wore the mask in. Remember that guy that.
Right. Yeah. Wearing? Justin something, McCauley or something.
He goes, Tito, I got your. He went into Bellator and Bonner goes, and he goes, guess who it is behind the mask? It was Justin McCauley. But no one knew who Justin McCauley was. It was like, where people recognize him with a mask on. Everyone was like, who the fuck is anyway. I know you guys,
dude. I so now we know the reason why they suddenly make an announcement about not drinking your own liquor that you brought on the plane.
Phil Baroni, dude.
They call it the Baroni rule.
They call it the Baroni rule, exactly.
Dude, he got kicked out of college. I think he sold the whole football team at Hofstra, like G, that when G was thing, and also steroids.
Yeah.
And they were like the worst ranked, and then they went to like first. We were like beating like Nebraska all of a sudden.
He was like, I know what you guys need. And it was apparently he's not wrong.
What you call a leader, man?
Yeah. Then he said he got kicked off the team for knocking out the coach in a boxing match after wrestling practice, which the coach Tom Ryan, who coaches Ohio State, denies.
You gotta give him points. I mean, what an athlete. Who's ready to box after their wrestling fucking workout? Like, hey, we've been wrestling for 3 hours. Now let's box. You know, like
he did Submission Underground.
What cardio?
And like almost beat a guy that was like AJ, whatever, in like Abu Dhabi. But then at the end, they like start in like positions. And he's like, they put me in an arm bar. I don't even know how to do an arm bar. I'm like, you've had 50 fights, 50 pro fights.
That never came up in training camp. They never said, hey, let's practice some armbars. Never.
Baroni. Anyway, I hope I talk to him soon. I know. I think he was calling me. I think he wanted to stay at my place, but I don't know. Anyway, listen, you guys are awesome. Greg, what do you got coming up?
First of all, I just want to say, don't let him stay at your place. You've got kids. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
What do I have coming up? Let me see. July. Well, this weekend I'll be at the Roosevelt Comedy for the Well-Dressed show on Friday. Saturday, I'm going out to do a thing called Campfire Comedy out in the high desert. So you live out in the Inland Empire, out the high desert way. I'll be doing a show out there. Look that up on the socials, Campfire Comedy. And then July 1-2, I'll be back in Phoenix for the Stir Crazy Comedy Club. So I think those are the big ones that I got coming up. Maybe next weekend I'll be back at the Ha Ha in North Hollywood. So I'm around.
Sean, if I want to buy a dog, how do I get in contact with you?
Yeah, just hit me up on Instagram if you're really rich and want a really purebred American bully or pit bull. But yeah, I'm not holding my breath. Like this will be like pretty much everything else I've done in my life. Like if you handed me a block of solid gold, I'd be like, hey, anybody want to give me like $20 for this? I'm like, I don't want gold. What's that worth? You know, whatever. Like I see morons all day online selling dogs far inferior to mine for $5,000 a piece, and I can't even get a bite. So that's like it. I don't know, but it comes with time, man. It's my first litter. It's going to happen, or it's not. I'll completely get rid of them all and forget about it and not do it. But I've had that happen before too. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just really looking forward to this 100 degrees or 99 to 100 degrees the next 10 days straight in Indianapolis. That's awesome. That is awesome.
It sounds awesome. Sounds great.
Yeah.
This Friday night. Sucks here, man. This Friday night, I'll be in San Diego at the Casino Inn in San Diego. And then Saturday, I'm at Supernova in Hollywood. And International Fight Week, I'll be at the Strat in Las Vegas. Thank you guys so much. You guys made my whole day. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Take care.
Love you guys.